Chris, thanks so much for joining us today.
Hi, thanks, guys. Very flattering, by the way.
Well, you know what, Chris? A lot, and you know, you talk about the teams you played on, but I was there at those cups when you were the starting goal and you won them, and I think you would probably agree you played maybe your best hockey when it mattered the most in a lot of those years.
Yeah, I think I always enjoyed playing the playoffs, and maybe after you won in 2008, I think I was it was probably, you know, guilty of sitting back a bit in the regular season and got off just a horrible start. Mm-hmm. And kind of recovered in the second half, and then the playoffs started and had a good playoff again. So, if I could have taken anything back from those years, it would have been, you know, obviously to have a better regular season. But later in my career, I just enjoyed playing the playoffs. I enjoyed the competition, the atmosphere in the rink, and every game meant something. And it was a two-month sprint, which I found to be a lot of fun and enjoyed the pressure of the game. And I think that's one of the determining factors for me retiring, too, is I hated sitting on the bench in the playoffs. It drove me nuts. I mean, missing the action and the competition at that level, at its highest level during the playoffs, is what I missed probably the most of anything.
Chris Osgood joins us in Primetime Sports. Were you healthy enough to play this year, do you think, if you wanted to?
At the end, I was pretty close, but obviously the number one problem was I hadn't played since January.
It's right.
Difficult. We were battling with San Jose and some other teams for positioning for the playoffs, and you know, 1 point or 2 points made a huge difference, so it's difficult to throw me in under those circumstances when the points did mean so much. And obviously, to not have played since January and then hop in and play in the series against San Jose or anybody for that matter in the playoffs would be probably asking a lot. If it would have went well, it probably would have been a fluke, to tell you the truth.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, and it is tough when the injuries start mounting. I know, and having spoken to you over the years, and it's funny you mentioned that one season where someone were talking to you about it with the regular season after you'd won, and you thought, oh, why did I do that? But I mean, you were a guy who had to kind of fight for every inch you got in the game. And I know over the years there were, you know, how good is this guy? Is he an elite goalie? And that was always kind of a conversation. And it seemed as though it was a thing that fueled you as a professional athlete. Would that be accurate?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, it was no matter what I did, whether it was winning in 98 or having good seasons or Dom and I playing great together, it was always, you know, is he good enough to do this? I mean, we won in 2008, and then it was questioning if I should be starting the playoffs the next year. So, I never was angry at it or mad. Sometimes I'd laugh at it. It just fueled me to prove people wrong or to prove that I could still do it. I use those to make my career longer. I mean, little things fueled me. I'd use little things like that to help me to play better, to help me to keep moving forward. And try not, as you get older, the regular seasons get longer. So I needed stuff like that and other things that I'd use, small little tidbits to motivate myself, which sometimes you need, and prove people wrong. When the playoffs start, the playoffs is the best time of the year, and hockey, the best playoff sport out of them all. I think you guys would agree. Mm-hmm. It's great. It's fun. And like I said, I probably was a little guilty of not playing nearly as good as I could the first half of that season in 2009.
Chris, tell me how difficult it is to play goal behind a really good team. And it seems to me that's different than being a guy who's facing, you know, 52 shots a night.
I mean, I always hear people say that. I mean, there's goalies that say, I can't play good when I get 20 shots. So that's, to me, that's an excuse. If I was talking to any goalies in our organization or something, that's an excuse. That's like a player saying, I only played 9 minutes instead of 11 or mm-hmm. 18 instead of 20. I mean, you work with what you're given, what comes your way, and whether that's 20 shots, be ready. Whether it's 40 shots, you be ready and make the saves when you're supposed to. And when the game is on the line, whether that be the last 20 minutes or the last 10 minutes of a game, make the saves no matter what. No matter how difficult they are, make them and give your team the opportunity to win the game. And I think this from watching guys growing up, Grant Fuhr was like that. I grew up in Edmonton. He played on a great team, but he, more times than not, he made the big save or the great save when he had to win the Oilers a game or keep them in the game.
Well, and the other thing too, Chris, when you play for a team that's a good team, you're playing a lot of big games.
Yeah, which is definitely beneficial. I mean, and it obviously gives you more opportunity to win, obviously. And the guys I've played with have been great. And I always felt like, you know, in Detroit, the goalie never had to be flashy. He just had to be real solid, be quiet, do the right thing, and just be a common influence on a team. And I think I brought that for the most part. And I always said, well, why do you think things went well in Detroit? I just think I was the perfect goalie in that position for that team at the time, and it worked out.
We talked about how you were drafted in 1991. Your debut was in the 93-94 season. Holy smokes. But one of the interesting things was how much the position has changed during the time when you were a professional, how much the equipment has changed. You never changed your mask. But,
no.
I mean, did you change your game very much over the years to adapt to the changing styles of the sport?
Yeah, I mean, during lockout, I realized, you know, you look around, these goalies are getting bigger, and they're more athletic than we ever were in the early 90s. And there was a lot more goalies that were good. Now, when I started in the early 90s, most teams, you know, had one goalie and their backup was a huge drop-off. Now, a lot of these teams have a guy playing the AHL that can step in and win them games. And I saw this trend, so I knew I had to learn how to butterfly better and push on my knees and move side to side and be more upright and not laying on my back or laying on my stomach or diving across your hands like we so often did in the early 90s, but going across upright. And it took me a while. I mean, I did it in practice during the lockout the whole time. I learned to try to train myself. And then when the season started, I found myself thinking about it in games. And it really never really started happening for me until my second year back from the lockout, and then I just noticed I was playing, not thinking about it anymore, and all that work was finally paying off for me.
Chris, listen, we appreciate you joining us today. I know you're going to stick with the Red Wings as an advisor, and we look forward to talking to you again in the future. Enjoy whatever retirement brings.
All right, well, thank you, guys.